welcome to episode 36 of the Total Control Podcast, brought to you by OpRainfall.com for the week of June 3rd, 2015, here where we try and satisfy some, if not all, of your niche gaming needs. I am one of your hosts, Zara Lopez, and with me today is Arthur Augustin. God, I'm blowing it today.
God, man, it's not that hard of a name either.
I fixed all the articles.
Hey, thanks. So. When I asked you to specifically.
They all say your real name
now. Oh, wow. What a courtesy.
Nice guy. Steve Baltimore is here.
Hello.
Hey, man.
What's up?
And we got a new guy, Joe Sigadahl.
Hey, everybody.
Hey. Joe is kind of new to the site, but... Big voice.
Yep.
I see.
I've been around for a few months now. That's right.
Yeah. If you see all the most weeaboo articles, editorials on our sites, that's
for me. Yep. Gotta represent.
Okay, and as you know, Total Control is recorded every week and posted to OpRainfall.com and iTunes. If you enjoy the show, we ask you to please follow us on Twitter at the Total Control. And now we're just gonna talk about some of the games. Since not much happened this week, except for one big thing, we're going to be talking about Fallout 4 a little bit later in the show. But yeah, so Arthur, what have you been playing?
I just want to let you know I went to the front page and clicked on the most weeaboo thing there was there, and it was not by Joe. So I'm a.
Was it Benny?
Yeah, it was Benny.
Benny likes to prove his weeabooness.
It was all. It was the image was in all Japanese, and it was something I've never heard of before. So
I think it was the Hyperdimension of 2D of Victor
2. Oh, that yeah. I'm not that weeb because I don't even import. He does.
Right. What have I been playing? I've been playing a brand new release for the first time in a while because I now have a job so I can afford these things. But I've been playing a game called Massive Chalice, which is a release from Double Fine. But it is a Double Fine game that is unlike the other Double Fine games. I think we talked about a few weeks ago how... about how I don't like Double Fine games. because they're usually story-focused and kind of character-focused and, like, cutesy and whimsical and stupid is the word that I throw in at the end. But this isn't one of those. It's not a game by Tim Schafer. It's one of those off projects. I need to close my window at some point because cars were going by. But anyway, it's so the best way to describe this game because there's a lot going on, is it's basically the combat of XCOM with the backdrop of a somewhat Game of Thrones setting with some light Crusader Kings and maybe, what's that game called? Xenoblade? No, not Xenoblade. What's the fuck is that one called? The one with the World War that's going on? It's like a tactical game for the PlayStation 3.
Oh, Records of...
No. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, it's totally escaping me. It's that game that everybody says is really good. It came out in 2008, but nobody ever actually plays it. Because it's
Valkyria
Chronicles. There we go.
Right,
Got it. I won!
Yeah.
Show's over, guys. Thank you.
There we go.
Episode 36.
There you go. So it's all those things combined. So it's... if you ever have a question while I'm trying to explain this, feel free to jump in because I'm going to try to unpack it all, but it's kind of easy to get wrapped into everything that's going on. But the thing that I need to stress is that the game, unlike all the other games I play, like I mentioned Crusader Kings at one point, all those other games I've mentioned before are super complicated. They take like hours and hours to get into, and even when you've played them for like weeks and weeks, you still have no idea what the hell is going on. This is not one of those games. I jumped into it. I've played one game. I'm still in the middle of it because it's pretty long. But even though I've been making mistakes along the way, I've never gotten to a point where it's just like, okay, I've made so many mistakes. I have no idea what I'm doing. I need to start over again. That hasn't happened to me. Whereas opposed to other games like even XCOM, which I feel like XCOM is still pretty approachable. Even XCOM, I remember playing for the first time and being like, I've made too many mistakes at the beginning. I need to do this over again. So Massive Chalice isn't like that. But basically what it is you have this overworld and there's like 12 different regions, And the central conflict is that outside of the regions is this thing called the Cadence, which is like this orange goo that's sort of like invading on your land. And when the Cadence invades the land, and then there are these monsters that show up, and you have to defend your land with these heroes that you have. So anytime that happens, that's when you go into the combat view, and that's when you have the XCOM combat. And the combat is it's mostly melee-based, and there's different classes you can have, and there's a bunch of subclasses. This is something that isn't really outlined in the game, but most of it is, like, there's, like, melee heroes who are very strong, but don't have, like, a lot of finesse to them. Like, they don't have a lot of, like, special abilities. They just sort of walk up and hit dudes real hard. And then there's, like, another melee class that's kind of more like a rogue who do a lot more damage but don't have as much health. But they also, like, the higher level they are, they can get, like, poison like damage to them. They can also throw grenades and things like that. And there's also like another one that can turn stealth. And then you also have archers, and like there's another one called like alchemist. But the thing is, like, there's some like main ones, like just regular melee, just regular archer, just regular rogue. But then the thing is, there's a way to sort of mix and match all the classes so that you get like a lot of different combinations along the way. And the way you do that is something that I'm going to have to explain once I get further along into explaining the rest of the mechanics going on in the rest of this game. But so that's the combat. So when you go back into thinking about the overworld, itself with the Game of Thrones setting is with the heroes you have, you get the heroes because you have these families. And I feel like I might be losing you guys here at this point. But if you have any questions, again, just sort of jump in.
Is there an actual story?
There's a story. So because the thing with Double Fine is they always want to have like some narrator, nifty humorous element to it. So there are these two narrators. There's a male and a female, and they're sort of emanating out of this chalice that's in the center of the map. A massive chalice, and they sort of talk from it. It's not really explained why they're talking from a chalice, but they're sort of guiding you along the way, and they're sort of explaining that the Cadence is coming and there's some background going on. It's not super guided, like there's no main character, for example, but they are talking to you, and like there are little story, like randomly generated things that come up that you have to choose. There will be like a little paragraph long dilemma that comes up, and then they'll give you three options that you have to choose, and those will usually have an effect on some part of the world or like one of the heroes you have. Like one that I just got before I stopped playing today was like two of the heroes that you have broke up this anti-war rally, and the way that they did that was they just killed a bunch of peasants. So the peasants are really upset with you and with the heroes, so you have the option of imprisoning the two heroes, or you can say to the peasants that you're going to imprison them, but don't actually do it. Or you can just do nothing at all. So what I ended up doing was doing nothing at all, because I only had like 8 heroes at the time. And each time you go into battle, you have to get 5 heroes. So if you run out of heroes and people attack, the Cadence attacks, then you're kind of screwed. So that's why I ended up doing nothing. But you can also imprison them for 10 years and then just kind of hope that you can make it along without doing anything. Or you can just kind of take the risk of saying like, yeah, we'll do something about it, and then do nothing, and then hope that the peasants don't get upset with you. And like, you know, there's no like bar or something for like peasant happiness or anything like that. It's just sort of like one of those things where you just have to hope that there's no future consequences. But that's like the extent of the story, really. It's just those sort of mini dilemmas that come up every now and then. And of course, the narrators are sort of popping in and out every now and then. Whenever there's some like narration to do, or whenever they want to add some flavor to what's going on in the actual world itself.
How deep is there like a customized setting? Like, can you like, you can do subclasses, but can you like customize the weapons or their abilities?
So the thing that, that's actually probably one of my complaints is that, so all the heroes have names, and they all hail from houses. And I should explain quickly that the way that you get heroes is that you have to marry two houses together, and then they just generate like offspring, and then those make heroes, and then they grow up and they get stats, and they can get stats like clumsy, which means that they'll have like lower accuracy, or they can get bear strength so that they'll have like higher health or something. And of course, they'll have generated names as well, but they'll share the same last name. And there's different like mechanics with that as well. And the thing is, at the beginning of the game, you can pick like from thousands of different house names. Not thousands, like hundreds of different house names, and those are purely cosmetic, but you can't make your own, which just seems like kind of an oversight. You know, like, why isn't there just an option to make my own banner flag? Like, why can't I make House Augustine or House Azario? You know, like, why can't I make the Op Rainfall Massive Chalice or something, right? And just play with all my friends. And so you can't customize your hero names or your hero house. And the, like the other thing, like, for example, like the heroes will die over time because it's over like the game is played in years, not in turns. So like a full game is 300 years. So your heroes will grow old and they'll die eventually, like around 60 or something. But there are sometimes like heroes will grow to be like 200 years old sometimes. And because of that, like, there's a mechanic where if you reach level 5 on one of your heroes, then they'll have like a relic weapon, which is a weapon that has a name that does a lot more damage than a regular weapon. And that relic can be passed on within a house. So it's sort of at that point, you need to make sure that the house continues to live on with the bloodline. So you need to make sure that, like, when the ruler of the house dies for whatever reason from old age, you want to make sure that there's another person from the same house with the same last name to take over and just keep going, because otherwise that relic, it can only be passed on with people within the same house. But the thing is, the relic has a name, like it'll have a name like cold or like ice, like it'll be called like, oh man, you have the hammer ice, right? But you can't rename that, so you can't call it something like, dude, you have like fucking Cloud Strife sword or something, right?
It's called the Buster Sword.
Yeah, Buster Sword. Come on, right. Thanks. I just lost so much cred. Yeah, like, you can't do that for some reason, you know? And it just seems so easy that they would be... It seems like something that should be in the game that it's not for some reason. And that's something that just keeps reminding me over and over again, because that was the best part of something like XCOM or Crusader Kings or any of these other games that I always mention is... That's what everybody wants to do. They want to put themselves in or their friends in, or when somebody gets really good, they want to name them something cool so that they'll remember who they are. But you can't do that in this game. So that sort of takes away from a lot of stuff. Like, I'll still try to remember, like there's this one guy, there's this mechanic in the game where if you can get a character who, if they have high intelligence, you can send them to the Sage Rite Guild, which increases, if you send them to the guild, then they can contribute their intelligence to increase your research speed. But in order to do that, they have to abandon their house name, so they can never contribute to the house bloodline, and they can never fight in combat again. So I had this one guy who was kind of an idiot. Like, he had really low strength and low dexterity. So I sent him to the Sage Rite Guild. And I thought, like, okay, well, he has two other siblings. They can continue the bloodline. They don't need him. So I sent him to the Sage Rite thing. And his name was Sam. And he was just kind of an idiot. And I sent him there when he was 30 years old. But now these days, Sam right now is 175 years old. He's outlived, like, multiple generations. His siblings are dead. His bloodline. You know? And, like, the thing is, like, the other people who've been to the Sage Rite Guild, like, he's, like, outlived the people who replaced the original people who he was working with. You know, like, he's lived longer than most of the people in the realm. And, like, he doesn't even have gray hair or anything. He still looks young and everything. And I know, like, yeah, Sam, I know that guy. But I wish I could call him, like, Aegon Targaryen or something. So I could just, like, you know, like, just give him some character that I could actually remember. But, you know, it's also kind of cool to just think of, like, yeah, Sam the Sage, right? But I just think that they could have done something to make it a little more memorable. But, yeah, you know, I just spent a lot of time explaining all the mechanics. But the takeaway of everything is that I think this game is really awesome. I was keeping an eye on it when it was first announced, like, maybe 2 years ago or something. It sounded really interesting from the start. I think it's a project by Brad Muir. He's one of the guys at Double Fine. He's kind of more of a numbers guy. He's one of the industry people who talks openly about his love for Dota and games like that. So he hooked me on his pitch immediately. But what I was worried about is that a lot of people talked about how the video game market is already kind of filled with a bunch of XCOM clones now. Like, I forget what it was called, but like another kind of spy focused XCOM type style game just came out recently. People will know what I'm talking about if they follow the genre at all. And then there's XCOM 2 just got announced as well. And I thought I'd be worried because I'd think like, okay, well, with all this other stuff coming out, maybe Massive Chalice isn't as relevant as it could have been anymore. But I think even with all that in mind, there's still some specific stuff about this game that I don't think you're going to get in other games like it. So if anything that I said so far sounds interesting, I really can't recommend it enough so far, because it's one of those games that I just start in the morning and it just kind of goes until the middle of the night. I just keep playing it all day. And I haven't finished a full game, so maybe there's something to be said about the longevity of it. But right now, I think it's like $16 on sale because it's the first week that it's out. It just came out June 1st, and I already have 6 hours played. So like that's more than you'll get for a lot of games. So I've been liking it a lot.
Arthur likes a Double Fine game.
That's first.
Gonna put that on
first
record.
Time for everything, man.
That game sounds cool. It's for PC only. Do we know if it's ever coming to any consoles?
I want to say that when they first announced it, it was like supposed to be for like everything ever. But it looks like they have a platform listed for Xbox One. It looks like it is on Xbox One as of June 1st. According to Wikipedia, I don't know if that's true. According to Game Informer of last year, so who knows?
All right, well, if you have an Xbox,
turn it on right now. See if it's there.
Turn it on for the first time in a while. Dust it off. Yeah. Just say Xbox on.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to this with the audio turned up, that would have already turned on your Xbox. So I just did you a solid.
Boom.
Yeah, cool. That game looks awesome. It came out a couple days ago. It's on Steam and probably everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's on PC generally, and then it's on Xbox. I guess it's technically for Mac as well. Okay. Yeah, I mean, even when it's not on sale, it's going to be like $20, which is somewhat cheaper than many other things. And yeah, right now it's $15.99. And it just came out of Early Access. It was in Early Access for earlier this year. It has mostly positive reviews from the community. There's some people who are saying that it's really not as deep as they were hoping for. I don't know what they're comparing it to. I mean, it's no XCOM. Like, it's not super difficult. But
they're probably comparing it to other Double Fine games. Like, they go in looking for, like, this emotional adventure.
Well, I mean, all the reviews that I see, like, on Steam, I'm looking at Steam right now, and all the thumbs down, the first thing they say is, like, oh, it's supposed to be XCOM, but it's not. No. You know? Like, and, yeah, I mean, it's not, I guess, but, like, XCOM is, like, a very specific thing, in a way. But, you know, it's not super difficult, and it's, but that's fine with me, because XCOM kind of makes you want to tear your hair out at a certain degree.
Did you like Declassified? XCOM Declassified?
Declassified?
Yeah, that was after the good
one. Talking about Enemy Within?
Yeah.
I didn't actually play Enemy Within, because it was on sale for like $3 at one time, and I missed it, and then I was like, you know what? I'm just never going to play it, so...
It came to PlayStation Plus, and it turned out to be one of my favorite video games for a few months.
I think I missed it. So the thing with XCOM is I like XCOM, I will say that. But the thing that keeps me from replaying it is the overworld is super frustrating. The fucking managing satellites and all that.
Yeah, they give you a lot. There's a lot to understand and to do.
Well, it's not like understand and to do. It's just like super frustrating and like... You have to keep getting thrown into... Okay, so the main thing I like about Massive Chalice over XCOM is, like, there's more to do, I'd say. Whereas XCOM is just like, okay, you got into a battle. No, go do it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
So there's like these sim elements where you deal with the houses and stuff. Yeah. And, yeah.
And I kind of like that. And maybe that makes
me
like...
That's what it sounded cool to me.
Yeah.
That's...
Maybe that makes me like super casual or something, but I kind of like it.
Fucking casual.
Yeah, fucking casual, man.
Get good, bro.
I'm playing on normal, and I was a little disappointed that there wasn't an easy option.
Fuck.
No Iron Man?
There is an Iron Man mode, actually, but I chose not to do it. Because I did Iron Man mode immediately when I played XCOM, and that was a terrible idea.
That was a bad idea, yeah.
It's like playing Fallout New Vegas and going down to that super survival fucking mode.
Yeah.
I gotta make this motherfucker drink or he's gonna die. What the fuck?
That wasn't that bad, actually, if I remember correctly.
I did Metro, all the Metro games on the hardest difficulty.
Really?
Except, well, I guess Last Light. The other ones were just hard to begin with, but Last Light.
New Vegas wouldn't have been.
It takes everything off your HUD and you can't really see anything.
I think the developer actually says they suggest that you do that, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Whereas with XCOM, they're like, no, don't do that. Like Massive Chalice, that when the game starts, they even say, like, hey, Massive Chalice is a game that has a lot of mechanics going on and is somewhat difficult. We suggest you play it on normal with the tutorials turned on. Like, there's a little prompt that opens up when you start the game that says that. So. And there's a hard difficulty and a brutal difficulty if you want it to be more difficult. And an Iron Man mode if you want it to be, if you want to go that way. So.
All right. So that's Master Chalice.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Okay.
I've heard some other things, but you're going to talk about them, so.
Okay, yeah, I'll get to them. Joe.
Yes.
What have you been up to?
Well, it's really funny that you asked that. As much as I'm trying to take a break from Neptunia, I just can't seem to get away from it.
It's really hard since they keep releasing a game every 2 months.
I know, and the funny thing is, like, in the past couple of months, I played Nep Rebirth 1 and Nep Victory, and then, like, literally a few days later, Steve comes up to me and says, hey, are you ready to play... you ready to play Nep Rebirth 2 for Operation Rainfall? I'm like, okay. Pick up my controller. I just binge played it. I did. I went like, what, 3 days straight of Nep Rebirth 2. I'm like, okay, let's do this. Let's just get it done as quickly as possible.
Is that the PC version?
Yeah, that was
the PC version that just came out. Cool. So that one's a remake of the original Hyperdimension Neptunia. I think it was Mark II on the PS3. Mm-hmm. The story is interesting. It features the CPU's little sisters, and they're trying to save them, you know, from these bad guys called the ASIC, you know, R4R Syndicate of International Crime, basically parodying. Video game piracy. They're pirates.
Yeah.
They sell emulators, ROMs, illegal stuff, and because of that, the CPUs lose their powers so much at the point where they can no longer fight anymore, so their little sisters have to come save them. And it's just really, really crazy. One thing I didn't mention in my review, which is going to probably come out soon, is that I really, really miss... what caused me to buy the original game, which is the creator attacks. Like, they had Keiji Inafune in there, and you could make him like a sword, like a rocket ship that shot lasers and all kinds of awesome stuff. And I was like, really? This isn't a video game? This is awesome. I gotta go play this.
I think I missed Gust worse in Rebirth 2 than anything else, because Gust was funny. Broccoli just doesn't do as good of a job pulling the party together.
No, and she's really not that good of a character. I mean, she starts off with like a heal that does like 80% of your health, which sounds great, but it has really, really shitty range. So good luck using it.
And I mean, the one thing that stood out from MK2 that Gus did was like she actually took the sister's panties and put them up for auction.
Really? I must have forgotten that scene
is hilarious. Because Uni gets like completely pissed off about it, only because hers didn't sell for the most.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and that was the funny part of it. That was the joke.
So I haven't been able to get away from Hyperdimension Neptunia, even though I've tried to. I pre-ordered Hyperdimension Neptunia U. you know, the Rebirth 3 is coming out later this year. I'm all nepped out, really. But other than that, I've been playing a lot of Demon's Souls. The reason is because...
oh, man.
Yeah.
Here comes Arthur's going to talk.
I'm the Demon's Souls guy.
Yeah. So I'm a live streamer. For people who don't know, I've been spending like 2 years on Twitch. And I bought a bunch of games. Like, I bought 4 games off of that PSN Golden Week sale that happened a little while ago. So I got Demon's Souls. I got Mugen's Soul Z. Atelier, what was it? Atelier, Esha, and Logi, I think. And yeah. Disgaea D2 to play. So I started out with Demon's Souls. I took a poll, and Demon's Souls was the clear winner.
Have you played before?
No, it's completely blind run. And okay. I consider myself, you know, pretty experienced with Souls games. Like, I've beaten Dark Souls 1, Dark Souls 2, I know pretty much by heart. I played a little bit of Bloodborne. Haven't gotten too far into it. Demon's Souls is freaking hard, man.
What's your favorite?
This is kind of a contrarian opinion for some people, but I actually really like Demon. I like Dark Souls 2.
Okay.
Because I think it flows really well.
Mm.
But the bosses, I have to admit, are not as imaginative or, you know, varied as they were in the first Dark Souls. And I think you probably agree with me on that.
Let me make a prediction here. Did you play Dark Souls 2 first?
No, I didn't.
Oh, man.
I actually started with Dark Souls 1.
Okay.
When it got onto PC on Steam and stuff. But I didn't play Dark Souls 2 until well after it came out. Like, well after most people played it. I got it on sale. So I found it much easier than the first game. You know, it flowed a lot better to me, too. So I think I ended up enjoying that a bit more.
Okay.
Oh, relaxing.
Demon's Souls is like hell.
It is. I mean, compared to those two other games, it's really, really hard.
Dude, yeah. I've had the complete opposite opinion to what you just said. So I guess you haven't listened to the podcast probably. So I played Dark Souls first, let's say. Okay, so I had like a weird history. I played the Demon's Souls and Dark Souls when they came out, and then like played them for an hour, then never again. And then this past year, I played Dark Souls and finished it. And then I tried to play Dark Souls 2 and didn't like it because it was too fucking hard. And then I went back and played Demon's Souls and liked it a lot, but thought it was really easy. So literally the opposite of what you just said.
I guess it's different for different people.
Right.
Yeah.
What type of build or like play style, I guess, are you going for?
Well, we took a kind of a poll, like a viewer poll, and we kind of played it safe. So I'm playing a knight right now.
Okay.
And I went around to different areas just to see what was around. And I'm going for kind of a dex build right now with an Uchi Katana and a Crescent Sword +1 on the side. Because in that game, you know, the enemies have different weaknesses. Like certain swords won't work well against certain enemies. So you have to use a magic sword or a bleeding sword, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Or sometimes you have to use turpentine and set the sword on fire to make it work.
Right.
But yeah, it's definitely a harder game than the two Dark Souls games. It's a little bit more annoying, too, because they don't differentiate between... Well, actually, they do. They differentiate between like your actual inventory carry weight and your armor carry weight. So what happens to me a lot of the time is I just end up carrying way too much stuff, and I'm like, oh, man, I got to spend 5 minutes dropping everything just so I can continue and find all this neat stuff.
Well, there's like a bank deposit place where you can leave stuff at the Nexus.
At the Nexus? Oh, yeah. Well, I haven't figured that out yet, so
yeah.
I should probably make use of that.
Yeah. There's a guy next to, at the very beginning of the game, you know, like how there's that big open area with all the comments on the ground that you can read,
mm-hmm.
you know, referring to. Okay, so if you face that and then look to the right, there's a dude just standing there and you can just leave stuff with him. Because if you drop stuff in the world, then it's just gone forever.
Yeah, probably a better way to go about things.
Right, so if you're dropping, like, weapons and stuff, if you've already been doing that, that stuff is gone. So.
Well, I mean, I was carrying a lot of extras, so it doesn't really bother me, but it's good to keep in mind for the future.
Well, how far?
Yeah, that's what I kind of like about Bloodborne, though, is that, well, maybe people think this is made it easier, but there's no over-encumbering weight. Like, you can...
Well, they got rid of that in Dark Souls and Dark Souls 2, I believe.
Good thing I didn't play those ones, huh?
Damn.
You're missing out, man.
I did Demon Souls, and I was like, oh, Atlas isn't on this project? See you later.
All they did was fucking...
Did you platinum Demon Souls, Arthur?
No, I was thinking about it because I only finished it a few months ago.
I only know one person that's ever done it.
Really? Is it like difficult? Now I want to look up what the trophies are.
David done it. The Wrath for Rainfall. David has got a platinum on it.
Nice.
Okay, I'm gonna look up what those are. How far into the game are you, Joe?
I've killed four bosses. So the last thing I killed was this giant spider boss that I found deep in a mine. It was like a really big fire-breathing spider. It took up the entire room, and I couldn't figure out what to do against it. So I just kept hitting it with my sword and healing over and over, and it just seemed to work.
Yeah, that's probably one of the least inspired bosses, I'd have to say.
I hid behind a rock and shot arrows at it.
That's pretty much the tactic. I mean,
yeah, I mean, being a knight, I could just, like, literally walk towards it as it's shooting fire and webs at me to slow me down and just keep it up and reduce the damage and just keep eating herbs over and over to keep my health up and just swing at it until it falls. That was pretty much my strategy on that one.
Yeah. I mean, like, the alternative, you don't have arrows, is you hide behind a rock and then run when he's like firing up his lasers, whatever, and then slash at him and stuff. It's pretty much the same thing. It's pretty boring, if I had to say so myself.
Yeah, like, it's not the greatest boss design. Right. But unfortunately, I mean, that's as far as I got because, you know, I want to stream this stuff for everybody to see. And unfortunately, I've been having a lot of problems with my internet lately. Mm-hmm. You know, if you follow me on Twitter, you probably see me post a lot about my troubles with Comcast. And you need a good internet speed to stream, obviously. My internet speeds have been so pathetic lately. I'm supposed to get 100 down, right? Mm-hmm. Every single night, like around this time, up until now, I don't know what it's like now. But I've been getting seven download speed.
What?
Yeah, I don't get it. So I've been, you know, in contact with Comcast for a couple of days now. They sent somebody over, and they were like, well, we're going to put a ping plotter on your place so that we can monitor what's going on at night. I'm like, well, that's all well and good, but are you going to contact me if you find something wrong, or what are you guys going to do? And, you know, it's always a hassle with them, because even if you go on the phone and you tell their customer service, look, this is what the problem is. This is what I need your guy to do, you know, when he comes here. They don't communicate with each other. The customer service department does not communicate with the technician or maintenance department or whatever you want to call it. So when the guy finally shows up at my house, he's like completely clueless. I ask him right then and there, did they brief you on this at all? Like with the last two texts they sent. He's like, no. And I'm like, oh, God. Why? That's my experience with Comcast. It probably sounds hilarious to you guys because it's not happening to you, but...
No. I had Comcast trouble the other day. Do you rent a modem from them?
I do, but that's...
Get rid of that, brother.
That's
get
out your of necessity. Own it's out of necessity. I have to do it because we're on a triple play. If we dropped our home phone line, which I think we should... I could literally use any other modem I want to and just maybe have a better experience. I don't know.
Their cheapy old modems don't allow all the downloads. It toggles it. It doesn't allow it, especially if you're using Wi-Fi for anything, mm-hmm. even hardwiring. It won't allow. It'll separate it too much. But I got my own modem. Got a nice Wi-Fi router. Good to go. Mm-hmm. Arthur, money in the bank. There you go.
Oh, I realized that I forgot that this is an audio podcast. I made a video.
He made joke. The money sign with his hands. Yes.
But I am just lucky, you know, that I'm not trying to make a living right now off of this live streaming thing because I've missed so many nights because of this crap.
Yeah, you know? people who do that are kind of nuts. I mean, like, good on you if you can make it work, but
Well, it's funny because like there are actually very, very few people who can accomplish it. But the idea is so appealing to a lot of people that they want to go for it, right? Okay. They don't understand the realities. You know, there are expenses. You know, you have to pay for everything yourself. And the people who do make it a living, they barely get by, you know.
They definitely kiss their social life goodbye.
Oh. Pretty much, you know, because you have to be around for that long to stream every day. When do you get the time to go out and do things? And that has been a problem with some people I know. They stream for like 8 hours a day or longer, and then they don't have time to do simple things like errands and stuff. It's crazy.
They forget to eat, and then you see them wasting away on live Twitch.
Yeah, that's not healthy at all.
Stream my Wendy's Baconator eating.
Not to mention the 24-hour streams. You know, people staying up for 24 hours straight, you know, whenever a new release comes out, or, you know, just because. It's crazy. I don't really encourage that, but it doesn't stop people from doing it.
I follow a streamer. I follow Chibi.
Yeah, I've heard some things about him.
I don't actually follow his stream. I just follow his Twitter because it's fascinating.
Are you playing anything else, Joe?
I'm looking at these, by the way, the Platinum Trophy for this Demon's Souls thing. I can tell you, there's a Slay the Blue Flying Dragon, which is an optional boss. Yeah, fuck that. And then there's an optional Old King Doran, which is another thing. These are both like level one optional bosses, which are like nigh impossible. And then there's just like a collection guide of like a bunch of different things that's just super monotonous. And I forgot.
There's an easy way to kill King Doran, though. There's like a little glitch way.
It's not King Doran like the King Doran. It's like another King Doran.
Oh, okay. I know there's like you enter this crypt and there's like a ghost guy and then
Guys are spoiling me so much right now. You know
these are secrets. These are like optional bosses. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I forgot to mention during my section real quick, but I platinumed The Last of Us. So
what?
I just wanted to mention that.
Congratulations!
Thanks, man.
Very nice.
Now I can put that on the shelf and never play it again.
Yeah, that's how I felt about Hyperdimension Neptunia 1 and 2. I was like, I'm never going to play these games again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Criminal Girl is off. Fuck that game. Done. Done.
Hyperdimension Neptunia Rebirth 2 actually does have a pretty good replay value, though, because there's, like, what, several different endings going on? There's all kinds of different requirements to get them.
But once you grab those Platinums, you're done with those games.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, they walk you through everything. You got to do everything you can.
Platinum and V would take a long freaking time.
Oh, my God, I don't even want to imagine that.
Because, and it's the collecting the stuff, because you have to flip those flags and have the scouts go out and hopefully they find what you're looking for, and you gotta flip the flags the other way and send the scouts out again.
Oh my god, I hated that. I'm sorry, but that to me was the most tedious crap in Hyperdimension.
Oh no. I would rather do that than that Stella's Dungeon shit.
That was awful. It was time consuming, and
how did they do that on the Steam release?
They handled it like I don't know how it was on the Vita, but you know, you send her out on these timed missions to find stuff in dungeons you've been to. I mean, does it work the same way? And if she doesn't come back, she dies and she loses all her equipment.
How did they do the time, though?
It's in real time.
Well, it's still in real time?
Yeah, it's still in real time, even if you shut off the game.
Oh, okay, so it keeps counting when the game's off.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, see, the Vita did, too, when you had it asleep.
But no, I didn't like the scout system in Victory. I hope they do something more like the remake system. You know, where you found the dungeons in the dungeons themselves. You know, to find other dungeons. I liked that. Rebirth 1.
Rebirth 3's brought all kinds of stuff. They've got like hidden blocks, like Mario blocks in there now. They've got Stella
doing
something.
Yeah, I thought that was a really cool touch.
You've got scouts running around. I don't even know when I was in there. I'm looking forward to checking it out at the end of the month. But
oh, me too. Me too.
I'll probably end up doing our review of that for the Vita.
Mm-hmm.
So anything else, Joe?
Well, nothing else right now. But I know D4 is coming really soon to Steam, and I'm really looking forward to playing that.
Yes, that is an amazing looking game.
Is that that bad game that people think is actually good?
God, I hate you so much. No, it's actually it was one, the one, it was a game that was Xbox One exclusive, but they released it the day, like it was kind of like a ghost release. They had a conference and they're like, oh, by the way, D4 is out today.
Yeah, there was barely any fanfare surrounding it.
Yeah, so no one actually knew that it was even coming out.
From the makers of Deadly Premonition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you for answering my question.
Are you serious? You don't like that game?
I don't need to play that game.
It's insane.
Oh, it's so crazy. It's so bad, it's good.
Is that the critics?
Critics say it's so bad, it's good.
I love stuff like that. I can't get enough of it.
Whatever. Take your Sharknado.
So salty.
Salt. Yeah. You know, hey guys, I just wanted to let you know, in the most recent Dota patch, they added an emoji, which is a salt shaker that turns over and tips out salt.
Nice.
Oh, Dota.
When people get angry, you post the salt.
Steve, what are you up to?
Well, I've been playing a little stuff. Pretty much.
Same.
But I played a little bit of Little Busters because I wanted to reread that. And And I even rereading it still has just as much effect on me as the first time I read it.
Because those are all those cute lolly girls?
No. There is one lolly.
Oh, okay.
There's one.
This is by the guys who made Clannad, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it's by the Clannad people. It's not the newest one they have out, which would be Rewrite. It was the one just before it. And it's got a really good fan translation. They've never localized it, but I wanted to reread it because it's really one of those visual novels that it really had an effect on me overall, you know, when I first read it. And it still does today. I don't make it through the whole thing without at least bawling at least a couple times. I can't help
it. You're a strong man. You're going to cry right now. Oh, my gosh.
Strong men also cry.
Gotta do it. I mean, you know, it's devastating. Like I was tweeting about reading it over the weekend. And I said, you know, the anime did not do the visual novel justice. JC staff just did not. It had some feels in it, but JC staff just didn't capture it. Like Koi Annie, they actually got Clan Ed and Canon down pretty good when they animated it. It's pretty much as good as the novels. But JC staff did not do as near of a good job of Little Busters. And when you read that visual novel, it destroys your soul in a good way. And it's just one of those things. And unless you've read it, then I don't really know how to describe it.
There is no other way.
No, it's not on Steam. It's not ever been localized here. You have to basically buy a copy and then apply a patch to it.
Okay.
And they're pretty expensive to buy a copy. I think I ended up paying like $60 bucks for mine.
Wow.
But it was well worth it.
There you go.
And but I really enjoyed it. I've been enjoying it the second time and still playing Moe Chronicles. I'm probably going to start checking out Lords of Magna. Is that how we say
it? Oh, yeah.
Lords
of Magna. It's really hard to say, but it came out yesterday, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be checking it out probably starting tomorrow. I'm going to start on that and we'll see how that goes.
It looks weird.
I want to know how that is because I really dug Rune Factory.
I'm gonna try it out. I've never played a game like that where you have to farm or do anything like that. I don't know if you have to farm in this or not or how it's set up, but I'm going to give it a shot.
The attacks look promising. The fighting.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. You know, it's got
lots of cute girls in it.
Exactly, which, you know, that's automatically what Steve's seen that, and he's like, hey. I'm like, hey, there we go. I must have this. It's got to be done. I mean, you know. Okay. So it's like Dungeon Travelers 2. I know nothing about that game, but when I saw the artwork, I'm like, hey, we got to buy this. Did you reserve that, Azario? I know you did, because you got to get that calendar.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to. So.
Oh, it's all right. I pre-ordered that and... The Persona 4 Dancing All Night Limited.
I'm debating on whether I want to get the limited. I kind of do because I like that case and it's got all the DLC with it.
Yeah, that's what you're paying. I'm going to pay, $40? So that's an extra $40 for all the crap that comes with it.
Actually, it's $50. Actually, they're charging $50 for just the game.
For a Vita game?
Yeah, it's the Atlas tax, man. You pay them
$10. Yeah, yeah. I remember Persona Q was $50 on 3DS, so that makes sense.
You're paying
sense.
The Atlas. You're paying the Persona tax.
Jeez, man.
Is that game PlayStation TV compatible?
I have no idea. I think it is.
I think it is, too. I don't think they use the touchscreens in them.
I think it is.
Because the way it looked to me, it looks very much like Hatsune Miku Project Diva, but with Persona people.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of does.
It's gonna put its own... It looks hard. Playing... It looks kind of hard to understand.
Most people look at it and think, oh, it's a rhythm game. It'll be easy. No, that's not necessarily true. I tried that. I tried that Neon Genesis rhythm game one time on the PSP because I was like, oh, well, you know, this will be pretty cool. You know, I like music from Neon Genesis. That is the hardest fucking rhythm game ever made.
I didn't even know a game like that existed.
Yeah, it's called, I think it's called Third Impact, if I'm not mistaken, or something like that. But yeah, it's hard. Like, hard.
How hard is it?
I blame it on Zario. I don't know why.
Okay, moving on. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome, man.
I've been playing...
With himself.
Shit. actually, just an update. I got past the part that I was stuck at when I was 13 playing Final Fantasy X.
Woohoo!
So, what part was that?
Defeating Seymour on the top of the mountain.
I remember that.
Right now, I'm doing stupid Let's Play once a week. I'm stuck on that stupid fucking fight. It's stupid.
Really? Just grind your Aeons to make them all the way as hard as are as like their specials or whatever.
Their overdrives. Yeah, I used to do that too, just to cheese all the bosses.
Yeah, but what happens is he comes back and then he's like, all right, now I'm going to cast Annihilate, and then everybody's dead.
Oh, yeah, you have to kill him before he does that.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you know what also I did? I cast Haste on everybody. I have Titus, I made Titus learn Haste-ga.
Yeah.
And so
Haste-ga.
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 Haste-ga. So I did that. So he never really had a chance to attack me.
You're no longer a puny Ronso.
No, no longer a puny Ronso.
You're strong Ronso.
Other than that, I did
Bighorn.
I get to play. I beat Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes because it was on PlayStation Plus, and it was fun. The last Metal Gear experience I had was on the Vita, the HD version on the Vita. I know I really enjoyed that, but it kind of sucks because they don't use any of the control schemes from those old games in this one. You got to kind of use the D-pad for your calls and your changing weapons and stuff when I'm used to using the R1L1.
That drove me crazy when I played that game.
Yeah. So, it's nice. It's cool. I like them kind of cheesing down when people see you, and it kind of slows down time and allows you to shoot somebody.
Yeah.
I hate getting caught in stealth games.
Dude, it's just Metal Gear. Like, I played that, whatever, demo it's called. What is the thing actually called? Ground Zeroes? I know we said it, a second ago. In most stealth games, there's, a way out or something. Metal Gear's the only one where it's just like, well, now you're fucked. It's going to be high alert until you're dead, reload, or the fucking game's over, basically.
Yeah.
Or you get to a cutscene.
Yeah.
And even in this... Ground Zeroes, it's like even through cutscenes it stays on high alert.
Yeah, it's any stealth game, like even Deus Ex or anything, I hate being caught. Like, it's the worst feeling. I in Last of Us also, you mentioned that, hated being caught in that game. When I was caught, actually, I would go back to checkpoint and try again.
What? Like, that's insane.
Yeah, I would just do that because it just bugged me so much. But
I feel like in Last of Us or even Deus Ex, you can, like, kill a few people, and then it's like over. But in Metal Gear, that's the only game where it's like they just keep coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, and then they see you again, and then hiding doesn't do anything.
Right. I feel like it's just poorly done. You know, like, that's what kind of got me. Like, everyone was saying that the mechanics were so much better in this Ground Zeroes, and they're like, now I'm so hyped! Metal Gear 5! Can't wait! And that just, this made me realize, like, okay, the mechanics are better, but I realized that overall there's some design problems with Metal Gear that will never be rectified for me. But I am a Metal Gear hater, and always have been, so that's me.
Well, I hated Splinter Cell, so it makes us even easier.
I love Splinter Cell.
I would like Splinter Cell more than Metal Gear, but I'm not a huge fan of either.
You get caught in a Splinter Cell game, it's game over.
Pretty much, yeah.
You don't even get a chance to fight back.
For some of them, for the first two, it's definitely like that. I think in Chaos Theory, there's a bit more leeway. Same with the more recent ones, the fucking modernized ones, whatever that recent one was. Not recent anymore. It came out. It was like the fourth one. People were like, this isn't Splinter Cell anymore. There are rocket launchers.
Which one was that? I don't know the timeline.
Not Blacklist. The one... Conviction.
Oh, yeah. I didn't like that one.
I thought it was okay.
Chaos Theory was good.
Chaos Theory was pretty good. What I didn't like about it is when the creator made that blog 10 years later, as I mentioned previously.
So Metal Gear, some cool things that I liked is there's a character named Paz in it.
Did you like and she got blown up?
Hey, spoilers!
Whoa.
Oh, man.
I'm just gonna pretend I didn't hear that.
Oh, came out a year ago.
She's voiced by Tara Strong.
Which one is that?
She's Pinkie Pie from My Little Pony.
Oh my god, that's hard. Jesus Christ.
Isn't she Riku?
Experience ruined.
Oh, yeah. But she does a lot. I think she does do Riku too.
Riku too.
But yeah, so you hear her moaning through a lot of
really?
It.
Really?
Well, go when
you
on.
Pick, that's the highlight that you've decided to pick out. She does do Riku, by the way.
Yeah, and she moans a lot, and it's like, that's Pinkie Pie moaning in my...
Oh my god.
Through my teeth.
Holy shit.
Also, Kira in the Jack series.
Dude, she does a lot. She does a lot.
Oh my god, dude.
Oh my god, Tara Strong. Yes, I love Tara Strong. She does Harley Quinn from the Arkham...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the Arkham games.
Yeah.
Zario, can I just put something in a different context for you?
Go ahead.
We're going to be going to E3.
Yes.
And we're going to be meeting people.
Yes.
We're going to be meeting people who have probably worked with Tara Strong.
Oh,
and
yes.
Very well could have listened to this podcast. Yeah. And they're going to, it's possible. And they're going to,
I'll take the blame.
They're going to shake your hand and they're going to be like, you're the guy who's into the whole moaning thing with Tara Strong.
I wasn't into the moaning thing. I was into the Pinkie Pie
you're
thing.
You're like, oh my God. I don't like to think about it. When this girl was moaning. That's who you are.
You heard it here, folks, ladies and gentlemen. Azario is no longer a closet brownie. He's come out.
I'm just saying,
when you take it into that content, you know, like, these people, they exist, you know?
Oh, yeah, they do. They absolutely do.
It's not just us? Oh, shit. But,
we thought it was like Fallout, and we were all that were left. God damn it.
And, like, it's kind of a humanizing experience, a humbling experience, because it's not a screen anymore, and it's not just like this mystical thing.
Okay.
Like, oh, it sort of just happens, then video games show up on my doorstep. It's like, now these people exist.
Let me clear up that it's not Tara Strong. Okay. It's Pinkie Pie.
Oh, okay, completely.
I'm not sure if being a brownie's better, but we'll go with that.
Okay, it's Riku.
There we go. Okay, that's fine. I'm okay.
Riku.
Riku is hot, so it's okay.
Or it's Harley Quinn.
Also hot. Okay. Still good.
Yeah. So, that and Moe Chronicles I've been playing on my bathroom breaks.
Tara Strong is 42.
Are you sure that when you're on this bathroom break that you're actually rubbing the Vita?
I tried.
I think that's all that needs to be said about that.
Okay, we'll let that go with that.
And we're going to the news. Thank you. We'll come back. Hello and welcome back. We're going to talk about some news, and that news is huge. That kind of rhymes, right? What is that called when words kind of
huge? I think it's called
palindrome. Palindrome.
I'm looking that up. Fact check. Palindrome is a word, phrase, number, or other sequence of characters which reads the same backward or forward.
Race car.
Yeah, that's a palindrome.
1991.
Sure.
I got an old book.
We fulfilled our educational quota for today.
True Party would be proud.
Fallout Arthur.
Yes.
Fallout 4 got a trailer this morning, along with being announced for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC.
You know,
this is super cool.
When you say things like this morning, you really date how long it takes you to put up the podcast.
I'll put this up tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll put it up tomorrow. I'll do it.
Boom. Okay.
I did it last time pretty good.
I'm just saying. Okay, yeah. Fallout 4, man. That trailer.
Okay. Give me some credit, though, for last week's.
Yeah, that was good. It was also only an hour long, which was nice.
All right. All right. But yeah, so they released a trailer that's about 3 minutes long, and it was really exciting.
There was a lot of great things about this trailer. A lot of great, like, things they did that I didn't think they would do.
They done the same trailer they did last time.
Was it? No, it wasn't.
They do some nods to previous trailers. But I liked the flashbacks. It kind of makes me think that maybe there's going to be more vault exploration where you can learn a little more about past life.
First, hold on. Let me put some context here, guys. Let me just say, when this game comes out, there will be 14-year-olds who have nostalgic memories of playing Fallout 3 when they were 7 years old. I just want to throw that out there so that everybody can feel old.
Wow.
And then the other thing, the thing that I was saying that what I'm happy about is the Fallout 3 teaser trailer was the radio, and then they pull back, and then it's like, oh, it's Fallout, you know?
Mm.
But there was no gameplay. It's just kind of the guy turns, and you see his face, and it says war never changes, and then you get the title screen. But this trailer is in-engine, which is very obvious. So obvious, actually, that I think there was some like amount of commenters on both the video and Reddit who were complaining about the graphics looking bad, because like it wasn't one of those trailers that's trying to fool you. You know, like how trailers in the PS3 era, they would try to do pre-rendered cutscenes,
yeah,
and then pretend like, yeah, this is what it's gonna look like, guys. But they're not fooling us here. I think this is very much what the game will actually look like, because that dog, it's a nice looking dog, but it's not like out of this world, right? Like, I think that's going to be what it looks like, right? So that was really cool. I give a lot of credit to Bethesda for having the confidence in their engine and just in their creation that they will actually show what the game actually looks like to everybody and not worry about, like, you know, we could like try to fool everybody into making them think it looks like something else. And then the other big thing that was different is they didn't stop at just the reveal of like, yeah, it's Fallout, here's the title screen. They actually did a lot of environmental showings, and they showed you some cities, they showed you some characters walking around, they showed you different environments. And the thing that I'm really, the thing that I was most excited about was just how different the color palette is, to be honest.
Looks really brown.
Well, there's a lot of brown, but like Fallout 3 was some green, brown, and gray. This has like some red, has some blue, has some white. Made me feel pretty American, you know?
Yeah.
No, but there's like some yellows. There's like some actual color, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was cool. It seems like they're actually making an actual world, not just like nitty gritty. We're in the apocalypse, man. But those are some significant differences, and I didn't think they would show so much of the game in the trailer. But I'm happy that they did, because it.
Yeah, they showed a quick town, and that town looked huge.
Yeah.
Like the scale that they can probably achieve in this game from the 7-year gap that they've had from the previous game, because they're probably, this was probably in concept way before that. You have to think like they probably finished Fallout 3 a year before and were just polishing it up. So this Fallout 4 has probably been in concept for a while.
Right. Well, it's probably the same team that worked on Skyrim, so it's probably not been 7 years, but probably closer to 4. So it's.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while. They've been working on this,
right?
So you can imagine the scale of town that they can achieve compared to how big they were in Fallout 3, which was pretty big. I mean, they're pretty impressive. I didn't really get into Skyrim or any of the Elder Scrolls games,
right,
for that matter.
Skyrim was probably the biggest. Fallout always seemed more dense to me. Like, there was more stuff going on. Like, you didn't have to walk as far to find something interesting, which I
like. Yeah, like, and for some reason, everyone has different stories to tell. Like, did you turn into a vampire, you know? What did you do with this?
Yeah. That's in Elder Scrolls, right?
No, this is Fallout.
There's vampires in Fallout?
Yeah, in Fallout 3, you can turn into a vampire.
I don't remember that shit.
They're like these sewer dwellers, and I just nuked them, but if you don't nuke them, you can save them, and they'll turn you into a vampire, and then at nighttime, you'll gain health.
Okay, sure. Well, this game takes place in Massachusetts, or Boston, specifically, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't remember, but is that where the teaser that happened, I think, like, a year ago or something, the whole, like, Reddit thing blew up for it, all that fake website business, was that said to be in Boston too?
I believe so. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. I think they called it.
I guess so then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that was announced, but I mean, like I grew up in Massachusetts, and there's like a bunch of landmarks that are shown in this trailer that you can recognize. Like, there's the Capitol building, and there's that statue that's shown.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the joke was already made that the roads are in better condition in this trailer than they are in actual real life. So
it's true.
The one thing that I don't know what's going on is the flashback stuff. Like, there's some imagery of like people in the 50s, whatever, where it's more bright and colorful before the nuclear apocalypse. Some in-engine stuff of that. I don't know if that's like a part of the game or if that's supposed to be just like a cutscene that you get, or like some in-game experience that you get before the game starts, or if that's supposed to be an element of the game where you're like going back and forth between time or something. Not sure about that personally. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you play some of the beginning of the game in the 1950s and they try and explain while you're playing what happened, you know, for people maybe who didn't play the previous Fallouts, or maybe they just want to put into concept. I don't know. I'm trying to think why they wanted to show that. And it could be there's a mission in Fallout 3 I know where you kind of go back in time with a virtual reality type thing and play through like a. Did you guys play Fallout 3? Am I totally spoiling?
No, I played Fallout.
I played Fallout.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Also, yeah. Years ago, so come on.
It's like a black and white world, you know?
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
But it's like based on. So if they did something like that.
Fun fact, by the way, you can skip the majority of the game so that's the very first mission you do when you escape the vault.
Yep, you can walk really? Straight to that.
Yep. Oh. You need to know it's there, though. But one of the things.
Because all the story missions before that were about him finding his dad. If you walk straight there, then there you go.
Yep. You found him.
There you go.
Like, there's a bunch of that in Fallout 3. Like, you were supposed to go into the capital to find three dogs so that you could find Rivet City. But if you just walk around and happen to find Rivet City, then you don't need to find three dog, which is what happened to me when I was playing the game, so which was pretty
cool. You can find three dog and blow his head off and take his headband.
You could do that, or you could never go to the capital because it wasn't a very fun part of the game.
No, not really.
Yeah. There's some interesting stuff.
I wonder, it didn't show anything about bats, the bats. Bats,
no, there's no combat shown at all. Although it is shown, or there's an implication that the main character is voiced by Troy Baker, which is Neato.
Yeah.
Because
I'm always going to miss Liam Neeson being my father.
Are you? He really phoned that in with that whole thing.
Well, it was on the phone, or
no? Like he put no effort into it at all.
Oh,
how could the main character have a voice if like you're always a blank slate?
Well, that's the question, because that would be a huge departure from everything that Bethesda has done so far.
Yeah,
so
pretty much.
That's the question, but at the same time, like the blank slate kind of interaction with the world has not really, I won't say it's the worst part of Bethesda games, but it's not really like, nobody is attached to that, I would say. You know, like, it's not good, like, it's serviceable, but they could certainly do something better with that, I think.
Well, in Skyrim, you're very limited in, like, what you can do with your responses. It's not like some older games where you can try to type out a response and see how an NPC would respond to it, right?
Yeah. And there's only like a couple of options, and like it sort of got clunky by the time we got to Skyrim or even Fallout, to be honest. Because like if there was anything more than three options, you'd have to like scroll down, and it sort of implied that they were building off of a system that was not ready to service more than something simple like yes, no, and see you later. You know, That's just the vibe I always got whenever there's. That you have to scroll for more than three options. I don't know if having voice acting is really the direction I would have expected, though. Like, if anything, having voice acting would kind of limit them more because you can only say so many things, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they do those things where you say yes, or you just answer yes, and your character goes on this, like, three-paragraph response, and you're just like, no, I just wanted you to say yes. Right. Like,
it's kind of like how BioWare does it.
Yeah, the Mass Effect stuff, it's, like, super long.
Right, and I'm that guy who turns on subtitles for these games so that I can read the subtitles and then hit skip so that I can just play the game.
Yeah, that's what I do.
But at the same time, like, I just, as I said that, I was thinking, like, that Bethesda is also the people who sort of pioneered the amount of voice acting that can be present in a game. Like, Oblivion was that game that had, like, 15 voice actors. And everybody had voice acting. Like, granted, they repeated a lot of them for a lot of characters, but there's still, like, so much talking in the game. They used it for everybody. It was pretty impressive. So maybe they want to do that again for Fallout 4, like, maybe make magic happen again. But I don't know. I guess we'll see what they decide to do with that. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe he's voicing a different character, and they just sort of made that implication just to fuck with us. You never know.
Well, we'll be there. At E3, and we'll be sure to report anything that we find.
Also, what this trailer implies is that they will definitely be showing gameplay, because if they were waiting to show the trailer at the conference, then they wouldn't have shown it today.
Yeah, they did announce on the blog that they were going to show an extensive demo at the conference.
Think it'll make it out this year?
Me?
Oh, we're actually not going to be able to attend their conference, but
I mean, do you think the game will be out this year?
Oh, I'm going to say a winter early 2016 release.
Yeah, I say May 2016. Like, they like having their summer, of just guess what, you're going to do nothing but play our game, motherfucker. And I'm like,
I'm not buying it at launch.
No.
No.
What?
Well, you
their games are too buggy to buy and launch.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, gotta wait till all the good mods get in, too.
I mean, they've always been buggy, but I've never had them be buggy in a way that made me dislike them. It's always just buggy. Yeah, for you? You've had negative experience?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like Fallout 3, I couldn't make the robot move.
No, all right.
For one thing.
For me, it's always just been like, well, this is ridiculous, but okay.
Skyrim was worse.
Oblivion was actually pretty bad, too. It was prone to crashing and things like that.
I never had any crashing with Oblivion.
And the bad thing about Skyrim is they took a step back, because in Oblivion, if you got stuck in a wall, you could save the game and reload it, and you wouldn't be stuck in the wall no more. In Skyrim, if you get stuck in a wall and reload it, you're still stuck in the damn wall.
Mm-hmm.
So forever.
Yeah. At least you could fast travel and stuff or something, right?
No, you were stuck in the wall.
Oh, right, because if you were, like, falling, it wouldn't let you.
Right.
Right. You can't. If you're stuck in a wall, Arthur, you can't travel nowhere. Your feet are inside of a wall.
It's like, you better hope the autosave got you not too far back, motherfucker.
I opened up a door.
I just checked, by the way, and I guess there's like a 50-50, because Fallout 3 and Skyrim were both released in late October/early November, and Oblivion was released in May. So they will either repeat what they did at the beginning of a generation and release it in May, or they will do what made them the big bucks and release it in October/November. And this game looks pretty finished, I guess. So,
yeah, I think it's going to be a November release. Get out of the way, Call of Duty.
I think it'll be a great game once they fix all the bugs that I know it's going to have.
Who knows? Mm-hmm. I just don't know when it will be released. I think it would be really exciting if it came out this year. I just don't know if I'm ready to believe.
Well, you won't have to wait for too long.
I'd say at E3 they'll let you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
So, our next topic on the list, Corpse Party.
I'll see you later.
got a trailer. We have a article on the site. It's getting a movie. I don't know. It doesn't really.
That's the 3DS remake.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. This isn't the movie?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, that shows that I know. Corpse Party's coming to 3DS. Nintendo fans, rejoice.
Your cries and screams
have been heard, and your dreams are now coming true with this.
If they get it localized. But however, they did announce the second game, Corpse Party Blood Drive, for the Vita, is coming to North America.
Oh, yes.
So this one's coming to America already.
Yes, this is for the Vita. The Vita version of the second game is coming to America, Blood Drive.
That's right.
I'm looking at the press release, and they've really upped the ante this time. You're going to have a 3D environment to explore this time, apparently. That'll be pretty awesome.
Is it still made in RPG Maker?
If it's 3D, probably not.
That's good.
Let's see. It says it gives you more interaction with the gruesome environments, which that's going to be awesome. It says that this will more exciting interactions for players experience in the finale. This must be the last of this gruesome tale. We're going to die horribly, because God knows in the first game they died fucking horribly. Let's see here. We got 3D audio this time. That'll be pretty cool. Let's see. It's got a. So
do you decide who dies in these games?
No, they're just pretty much screwed in general. But
because I really like the idea of Until Dawn.
Yeah.
If you guys have heard of this PS4 game where you get to kind of play the horror movie, and it's different every time, and you're like,
yeah, I think I have heard of that.
Yeah, college kids in a cabin. Like, that's such a good idea.
They classify Corpse Party as a survival horror game, actually.
Until Dawn would be an awesome Corpse Party.
They are. It's going to have Japanese voices, so I guess they're not dubbing this, which is fine. Let's see. It's got some bonus unlockables such as voice actor interviews, art, music, and more. It's got 11 story chapters and 8 supplemental extra chapters to go through when it releases in the fall.
What would get me to buy it, Arthur? What would get me to buy this game?
Yeah.
Bathing suit DLC.
Did you play the original Azorio, like, all the way through?
No, I haven't.
It's really good.
I've watched some Let's Plays of it.
It's gruesome. It's really gruesome.
It's really nice.
It's basically a mind fuck. I mean, there's just
I don't know. I don't really I don't know. Some visual novels I need to read, but I just don't have the time.
Well, it does have a lot of visual novel elements to it, but there are some adventure parts too, which mostly consist of you dodging things in the first game.
You got- I still haven't even picked up or tried playing Tokyo Twilight Ghost Hunter, so maybe I should.
But yeah, I was pretty excited for Blood Drive. I've been hoping that they localize that for a while, and looks like it's coming. XSEED also announced Earth Defense Force 2 for the Vita.
Yes.
It's coming.
Yes.
If anybody's one, really, only good bug is a dead bug. I mean, you know.
Earth Defense Force, it's like a tower defense game.
No.
Is that right?
I don't think you defend anything. I think you just blow it.
I mean,
it's a run and gun game where you shoot bugs.
Ants.
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 Same difference.
I think I'm thinking of yes. This game looks awesome.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. They're mindless fun, but they are a lot of fun. I played the other one. There's a Earth Defense Force Portable that's already out on the Vita, and I had a lot of fun with it. So I'm looking at this here, the Earth Defense Force 2. It's got four-player online action, which was fun in the other game. It's got a new aerator class and an English dub for the release over here, so that'll be pretty cool.
Hmm. Yeah, XSEED knows what's up.
And for you and Jay, baby, since you guys pissed him on about physical releases, both games will be getting a physical release.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's sweet.
Ship it. Buy now.
So that legacy console sure is getting a lot of fucking content for all the people calling the Vita a legacy console that can kiss
butts. I don't know can you explain that?
That one of the Mark, what is my guy's name for
No, somebody? I just want you to explain what a legacy console
is. A legacy console would be a console that they no longer support. Like the PS2 is a legacy console.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I got out of that comment.
But what he was talking about was the 1001 model. Is no longer supported because they don't make them anymore. Or that's what he said. But everybody took it and ran, oh God, they've discontinued the Vita. They're no longer supporting it in North America.
Oh, Sony's so he's talking about the OLED. OLED.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But of course, everybody's always quick to say the Vita's dead and they got to jump on it because they want it to die so badly because God knows us weeaboos, just they're scared to death of us. So.
They can't keep us down.
No, they can't. Piss and moan as they might.
I just love my Vita so much.
I know, right? And
you guys,
yeah,
I'm ready to wrap this show up. What about you?
Wrap it up.
Thank you for listening to episode 36 of the Total Control Podcast. We ask you to please continue to visit the site, read the articles, hang out in the comments. One of us will talk to you there because that's all we do all day is just hang out there.
When we're not live streaming, we just refresh the comments page.
Yeah, F5 comments over and over again, waiting for you. So thank you for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at @OpRainfall, and you can follow the Total Control Twitter at Total Control. I never plug @OpRainfall, but I should, so I did. I am at Azario Says. Steve is at Steve Baltimore. Arthur is at
Arthur Augustin. Augustin.
Arthur Augustin. And Joe is at
Aritalk TTV.
Aritalk
TTV. Twitch TV. That's what it stands Twitch for. TV. Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the people that are a lot on Twitter a lot, engaging with people. So
way too much. I have a problem. Somebody needs to stop me.
he's good at the Twitter. So thanks for listening, and Arthur.
If it's brown, blow it up. Lindsey Graham, 2016.